when they ask you your name, and I say steak.
Nice.
And then they write on the cup, S-T-E-A-K, and then somebody says, Steak. Steak. Happens all the time. They're just not used to the name.
See, that's,
they
look,
go, Steak.
I've spent so much time hating my own name because it's so it's so basic, but I have never had that issue. Like, never had that issue.
Michel? Maybe if you were in France.
Mickey? Yeah. Mickey? Although, the Chick-fil-A downstairs, me and Bo went down to get breakfast one time. We had one of those meetings. Bayou? Is there a Bayou? Is there a Bayou here? Bayou. And dude, Bo looked at this lady. I go, hey, she's talking to you. He goes, nah, she ain't talking to me. I said, dude, Bayou. And I'm like, I swear to God, she's talking to you, dude. And he goes, is it B-E-A-U? She goes, yeah, Bayou.
It's like the great Key and
Never Peele. Had that issue.
The greatest Key and Peele skit ever.
So right? Good.
Hey, Aaron.
So good, dude.
Hey, Aaron. Anyway, thanks to Mikey for helping me out. A little signals crossed, but hopefully get Drew Butler and Rusty on Friday, the day after the NFL draft, which obviously football will be on the docket. Mikey, nice enough to stick around this morning.
Of course, bro.
But there's other stuff that we got to get to at some point as well. A lot of baseball talk. I was down at the Hawks on Friday, and I'll have more sights and
Yikes.
Sounds of that. How was your weekend? I saw a lot of you and the kiddos.
Dude, epic weekend. Easter egg hunts galore. Kiddos getting lots of love from the Easter bunny. Wife and I hanging out with neighbors. Just, you know, look, you can attest to this. When your kids are five or younger, that's what it's all about, man. Hanging out in the neighbors, letting the kids run around the cul-de-sac, doing the Easter egg hunts as a neighborhood. This is the second year we've done a neighborhood Easter egg hunt. I bet there were 60 kids this year. 60, straight up.
So when do you start hiding them, all the parents and stuff?
I think they started hiding at 9:30 a.m., and I think the Easter egg hunt was at 11.
How many were out there total? Hundreds?
Of eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Like, more than, like, you know, and we separated the cul-de-sac. Like, on this side, three and younger, this side, four and up. And the ones, you know, on the three sides, like, just literally.
Was there, like, a golden egg with, like, big cash?
Yes, and my son found the golden egg.
What was it? What was in there?
His golden egg was, what was his golden egg? I don't know.
Did he make some coin or something?
Yeah, no, it was, there was not cash, just cool price, like, bubble blowers and things like that.
Bubble blowers.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just, like, the water guns or whatever else.
Where does Easter rank for holidays, Christian holidays? Where does it, or just overall?
For me personally or out there? For me personally.
What's the number one holiday in the Johnson house? I mean, say Christmas morning, no?
It is now. Well, that's what I was going to say. When your kids are that age, it's different. Yeah. You know, like, I'm a big 4th of July guy. Nope. But 4th of July is, like, number one. Then Thanksgiving, things like that. But when your kids are young, yeah, I'd say Christmas and Easter are pretty up there.
Yeah. Christmas got to be ahead of Easter, though.
Dude.
It's only so much chocolate compared to, you know. Christmas night, no?
Yeah. And yes, you're right. I can't even argue with that.
My kids have it both ways because, of course, I married a Catholic young lady, and kids are raised Jewish as well.
Southern Louisianian, right? Or
yeah, you don't see a lot of them. I tell the story.
Cajun Catholic combo.
It's like, how do they feel about the Jewish boy down there in Lafayette, Louisiana? And she's got 60 or 70 cousins.
Dude,
like, no joke.
That's a Catholic family.
Was one of nine. Yeah. Her mom was one of eight. And I'd never been to Lafayette. I'd never done Christmas. And I walked down there. Everybody was like, how'd that go? I was like, they were poking me, like, you know, looking for horns. We done never see one of them Jewish boys before. Come on over here. Dude, and that's like, do they do a snipe hunt? You know what the snipe is? They send me off into the woods.
Yeah. It's a snipe. It's
like, go. You go. Yeah. You got 5 minutes.
Dude, I'm not getting in on this. I'm showing myself out of this conversation.
They were the nicest. They're the nicest. And, well, they just not a lot of Jews in Lafayette, so they asked to learn. Dude. But at the wedding, you've been to a Jewish wedding where they do the chairs and you put you up
in the
chairs?
Yeah.
So they thought that was the greatest thing ever. Yes. Then they asked me, can we do that at our weddings? Like, you do whatever you want.
Is it appropriation if we take over the chairlift, if you will?
Exactly.
Now, my dad's from a Catholic family, man. And they're, I think I've told you before, my dad's from Chicago area. And they're, dude, the amount of cousins, it's just insane. Like, it's just insane.
No, I mean, she is the oldest of literally, I think there's 50, 60 cousins.
It's, dude.
And now the grandkids are getting, like, every one of them's getting married and cranking out. I mean, it's Louisiana insane. Cliche for sure.
My dad had an aunt and uncle that had 9 kids, named them all letter Ds. And it's just like, it's the most Catholic
what
thing.
Are they? Give me the
Dominic, name. Darcy, Dina. Like, you just rail them off, dude. It's crazy. I love it.
All right. Let's get to a couple of things that are front and center, especially in the sports talk world. First of all, we'll do 9-9 in terms of the scores in a second. I got a lot to say about being at the Hawks game on Friday night. It's a wild ride to get into. Also, obviously, a great weekend for the Braves. But the national story is Ronald Acuna, Jared Kelnick, Brian Snitker. Here is Snit yesterday. If you hadn't heard, I'm sure you have. Jared Kelnick, a very, very bad look coming out of the box. I'm not sure what inning it was. Obviously, Braves on a losing streak. They won on Saturday, though, because they won on Friday. He hits one to the wall. I mean, I don't know if he's pimping it or just feeling good or whatever it was. It was a horrendous look, which was absolutely magnified. Would have been bad if he stayed at first. Would have been bad if he was close to getting thrown out at second. Still would have looked bad. But to be thrown out at second, not being taken out of the game, bad moment for Jared Kelnick, who can't afford many bad moments.
No.
Here is after the game yesterday, Brian Snitker asking about the since-deleted tweet from Ronald Acuna.
I didn't have any. I mean, I don't do social media, number one. And I heard about it as I was walking to the dugout. Heard something was up, and then I came in and they said it was down. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know.
So Saturday after the game.
Yeah.
I know Brian Snitker too well. He's not lying, but
No.
Somebody should have said, did you see what just happened?
Skip. Yes.
Here's the iPad.
Yes.
Look at this.
It's well, first of all, it's a bad look for Brian Snitker, to your point, to just say, well anyway.
Like, he already gets accused. It's a bad look. I'm saying somebody should have showed him.
Right. It's a bad look for somebody. He already gets accused of being a little bit older. You know what I mean? With the him and hawing the way he talks.
I don't know.
And yeah. So for him to just straight up be like, oh, I didn't see. Like, it's a little bit of a bad look for him. It's a bad look for Jared Kelnick, no doubt. The guy's hitting,
well,
175.
So here is more Snit explaining it.
It's just timing and all of everything. I think there's no blanket thing doing that. Quite honestly, if you want to know the truth, I wasn't watching that play. I knew he got thrown out at second. I didn't see it till this morning, and then I talked to him about it. If you don't run, then it's a big time like that, yeah. But I quite honestly, I don't look for him to not do because he plays with his hair on fire all the time, and he's laying out. And I didn't know it till I saw this morning. I went in and I looked at it when I got here, and then I had a discussion with him, and we got it squared away.
He says a couple of things. It was timing, meaning just the way it fell with Acuna, years ago when he benched him, compared to how this fell. It's 6 years in between. Now, Acuna also didn't run out of ball in the playoffs, did not get benched for that. It was game one of a divisional playoff series.
Yeah, against Cardinals, I want to say.
He almost alludes that one guy plays with his hair on fire and maybe not describing Ronald the same way. I don't want to read too much into it. Here's Jared Kelnick. Obviously, he has to address it himself.
I talked to him this morning, yeah. Yeah.
Is it something you took upon yourself? Just went in there?
Yeah. I mean, because it's my actions. So, I don't need him to call me in. Like, I knew that it was wrong. And, like I said, it was a mistake. Got caught up in the moment. And, the only thing I can do is next time I make a swing like that is put your head down and run.
I'll ask you the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, there's a couple of things. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad a look is it Acuna gets benched 6 years ago and then Kelnick, nothing happens to him? I mean, are we really trying to just stir things up, or is it a big deal?
In and of itself, those two things compared to one, I think it's a bad look. I think I'm going to give it a 7 or 8 out of 10. If it's wrong, it's wrong, dude. Like, if it's the wrong way to play the game,
no,
then it's the wrong
way
to play the game.
But how big a deal is it that one guy got benched and the other didn't? That's what I mean. It's wrong across the board by both of them coming out of the box and not hustling. But are we making a bigger story of it?
Yes, but no. Because here's what I'll say, State. Let me start here.
Yeah.
Had the Braves not swept the series, this is all we're talking about.
It's a much bigger story.
If the Braves had not swept the Twins, we'd be questioning Brian Snitker's future, everything else.
I heard Bo tell me, and these guys are big Braves fans too, so I know they didn't want me to open the show with it, right? And Bo's like, it's not a big deal. I don't know what, let's, the winning streak's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And then Abe really starts. I mean, Bo says it quietly, but Abe is like in my ear.
Of course,
you know.
Of course he is.
I was like, dude, the story is that your best player is calling out your manager in social media. That's the story. I mean, the story is that Ronald Acuña, is taking time out of his day watching a game and being bitter. He's bitter. He's pissed. Ronald Acuña's pissed.
Yes.
Feels like there's a double standard.
Yes.
Is there a double standard? That's what he's saying. That's the story. Not, do we really believe that there is one? What the story is that Ron Acuña believes that there is one. I want to take your calls on at 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. After the break, we'll do that, but let's do our 9 at 9. I know Mikey's happy with another win for the Braves. What we needed, 6-2, Ozuna, Olsen, Baldwin, Homer, Granholm is 5 2/3. You do that after a 4-3 win on Saturday where Michael Harris has the big hit and Verdugo gets in the mix. You do that after Friday where you're down 4-1 in the eighth and Drake Baldwin has a pinch hit, a two-run base hit. Add it up, three-game sweep.
Let's go. And Alex Verdugo, it is what it is. Last week I was like, he's hitting 200 at Gwinnett Steak. We can't rely on this guy. Well, you know what? He comes up, gets four hits Saturday. A couple of games Friday and Saturday where the people calling the game probably had the Braves 6 feet under, and they're able to come back and actually win those two games. And then, of course, Granholm's dealing yesterday. So, yeah, big, big, massive deal for the Atlanta Braves with all the conversation surrounding them. Early season, Ronald Acuña to get three wins in a row in the fashion they did it.
Carlos in town now. More on that coming up. Hawks are done, 123-114. One of the great games I've been to in a while. Unbelievable crowd. Devastating finish. I have a ton to say about the future of the Atlanta Hawks and being there that night. It was a roller coaster of emotion. Obviously, that's a big story. Hey, Georgia baseball went on the road and absolutely got blitzed by Vandy 4 in a row. I don't know if that's worth mentioning. NFL draft 3 days away. Mikey's got so much more on that. So does Rusty. So does Drew. And the University of Georgia, three portal signings. Rusty joins us at 9:43. How big did Georgia win? You won't believe what school they went to get one of the great portal signings in recent history. That's what's coming up. 404-726-0929. Is it a big deal? Are we making too much of it? Is Snitch showing double standard? Steak and Mikey, Sports Radio 92.9. .923, Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Mike Johnson helping out on a Monday morning. Don't worry, we got Drew, we got Rusty, we got Sandy, we got the whole lineup. Saw a lot of nice folks over the weekend. Ran into my daughter was home from Georgia. She wanted to go to a Braves game. Brought her girlfriends on Friday night. They had the best time.
It's a good weekend to do it, man.
And then they were just like, we're supposed to go back Saturday to study. I was like, that's hysterical. Sunday afternoon.
Study what?
Sunday afternoon, I'm giving her a big hug. I was like, I knew you would stay.
Her and her friends probably sound like the Florida Gators, after they won the national championship, the person that put the camera in their face going, hey, when's your next class? Florida Gators are like, what?
Well, no, they got finals this week, so they were going to study for finals. But,
sure, man.
But,
sure.
I mean, once they had – my wife was out of town. She was with Nola at Tulane for orientation. I thought orientation was like you go to college and you get orientation. Now all this stuff goes on off-season.
Yeah.
So, like
– Yeah.
Isn't that when you get to school?
Yeah.
But now you do it – did you do that?
Well, we did orientation right before school started. Yeah.
No, I mean, like – I mean like sometime in the summer or it's the spring.
Yeah. You're not even out of high school yet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the kids' version of spring practice where you leave high school. Anyway, so we had the whole house. I had the three girls I was entertaining on Saturday night. So we had a wonderful weekend. A lot going on. I got a lot.
How's Bobby like that? He like having the college friends in town?
One or two in particular, there especially when they're lying out at the pool.
For sure.
Yeah, 13-year-old boy wondering all kinds of things. let me just say the Hawks game was spectacularly fun. They came back from 17 down. Onyeka Okongwu with a monster effort.
Dog.
I really am impressed with how his game has evolved. But at the end of the day, Miami last night was getting beat by 20 in game one of the playoffs. You're out of the playoffs again. You're 4 years in the play-in. This ain't what Tony Ressler signed up for, and there will be changes. And I don't, you know, we can talk. That game was a fascinating game, but, I mean, 8 and 9, they shoot in overtime and blow you out of the gym. And that was as loud as I've ever heard State Farm Arena when we were making that comeback.
It was electric to watch on
when
TV.
When we went up by 6, I said, what a gift for these fans. You hung in there. You're down 17. Dyson gets the steal. Congo's hitting threes. And then, like an Atlanta sports fan, it was like, dude, so painful.
And I want to bring this up, too, because I want to get your feel from inside the arena. I was saying this earlier, Steak. It just felt like every single thing they were doing looked easier than the way we were doing it. You know what I mean?
Hero is so flawless in getting his look.
Dude.
Just off the dribble, in the paint, drilling threes. I mean, it was a grind all night. And Zachary Risochet, wow, was he educated to the NBA playoffs. And I've been telling people, the defense played in week 55, in the 55th game of the year, compared to what happens, he literally, on loose balls, and not because he's not trying, his body's 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Like, they just threw him out of the way on 50-50 balls.
It's like one-on-one run blocking between me and Squidbilly. You know what I mean? Like, the inertia will take over.
The body isn't ready.
Yeah.
And Quinn Snyder sat him down and never played him again.
Yeah.
Like Zach didn't play, I think, the last 25
minutes. I don't have the numbers. I would say he played less than 20 minutes.
I know. No. He and I was sitting, I got lucky enough. I had ridiculously nice seats, so right in my face. The physicality of these guys compared to him, it wasn't a fair match.
Yeah, wiry fella, that raises shade. Yeah. Wiry.
So over the weekend, obviously the Braves get a much needed sweep. That was a great story, but your best player essentially was saying your manager has double standards. I mean, let's make no mistake. When the Twitter was, if it were me, they would take me out of the game. He's basically calling out his manager, Brian Snicker. We're not hyping it up. We're not saying something that's not a story. If Aaron Judge says this about Aaron Boone, if Mookie Betts said this about Dave Roberts, I mean, this is your best player saying, I'm treated differently.
This is an MVP, a former MVP, talking about a manager that will one day be in your Braves Hall of Fame. And that's the story.
And then his angle was, I didn't see the play. And then I would say, did Walt Weiss see the play? Did anybody else see it?
Yeah.
Did they show him the iPad and say, dude, this wasn't good. This was really bad. Now, you managed different 6 years ago. Maybe you it's just like, I was more a hothead, or I was more stringent, or I felt like a 19-year-old needed to be taught a lesson as opposed to a longtime major leaguer. Whatever it is, I don't think Brian Snicker in any way says, I like this guy better. I'm trying to send a message to that type of player. I don't know why it happened, but don't tell me it's not a story.
Right.
When it's out there.
I think that every coach kind of crosses this line at a certain point. And I don't think Brian Snicker was doing this, by the way. But I think every coach kind of has this thing. Do you treat your best players differently? Do you treat your worst players differently? How do you kind of walk that line? And I think that's what Ronald Acuña got benched as a 19 or 20-year-old future MVP five-tool player. Right? And Brian Snicker was trying to mold this guy as an up-and-coming player, saying this is what it looks like. Jared Kelnick on the other end, Steak. Is hitting 175. It's the whole Simpsons thing where he's like, he's dead already. He's dead. You don't have, like, are you gonna really bench a guy that's hitting 175? And I don't think that's for me to discuss. I think everybody in this situation is probably wrong. Jared Kelnick's wrong, Brian Snicker's wrong, Ronald Acuña's wrong for airing it out.
Let
me
ask you this. When you did see it the next day, is it too late to bench Kelnick for the following game? Or do you say, I got to do this, man, because otherwise it is a double standard?
Yes.
Or is you lost
it's too
moment.
Late.
You
it's
lost
too late. If Jared Kelnick comes to your office before you approach Jared Kelnick, it's too late.
And he apologizes.
Yes.
He did. You can't bench him.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Charles in a truck. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so look, I think it is overblown a little bit, But in the same breath, I like what Mike just said. I think they're all wrong in it. But in the same breath, you can't criticize Ronald for feeling that way. I remember when he got benched, and I was with it. I was like, yeah, bench him. So, yeah, you can't blame him, man. When you see – if you get sent home from work for doing something for a day and get written up, and then somebody does the exact same thing a little time later and nothing happens. So, I mean, yeah, it'd have you feeling some type of way, I think.
Yeah.
So, thank you, guys.
Yeah, Stake, 1997. Cubs are playing the Braves in Turner Field. I go to the game. Bobby Cox, I'm at this game. You probably remember this. Bobby Cox walks out of the dugout and benches Andrew Jones for a hot dog and a fly ball. I was there, and I was probably 10 years old.
Never seen that in the middle of the inning. It was the most emasculating moment for a baseball player I've ever seen.
I didn't realize what happened in real time. I was 10 years old. I was like, this is great.
He waved
off the field.
Yeah, waves him off the
Get
field.
Get off the field, man. And it was, you know, he did the Andrew Jones thing where he catches a fly ball at his belt.
I thought he didn't get to it. Did he catch it?
I think he caught it. It was how he caught it. Didn't use two hands, flip the glove up. You know, older Braves fans remember.
I thought he was slow getting it, didn't get there. But yeah, I'll look it up.
Possible.
Ricky and Noonan, you're on Sports Radio.
Hey, guys. You know, of course, we know what the elephant in the room is, but we'll try not to go there. But, you know, you guys are both parents like me. And I remember when my kids would get in trouble at school, I'd be ready to rail on them as soon as they got off the school bus. And my wife would be going, no, let them eat. They don't even know why you're mad. So we got this going on. Acuna's more like me. I'm just ready to rail. And my wife said, he shouldn't have gone to social media. At the same time, I'm going, but, you know, he's carrying the weight of Latin players and black players. There's been a stigma there. Most people in the stands do not look like Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's more, nobody's right or wrong. I think it's personalities and reactionary, how people react to things. Thank you, guys.
I think it's a great call. I think there's a lot of good points in that call. And I think, to your point, there is a certain amount of at stake that you look at Brian Snicker and it feels just a little bit out of touch. It feels just a little bit out of touch where you're like, first of all, how did you not see it? Second of all, you know, do you understand what's going on with the back and forth here? And, you know, what do you have to say about this? And the whole thing where Jared Kelnick comes into your office and he approaches you before you're able to say anything, when in real time 5 years ago you pulled Ronald Acuna out of the game in real time. That's big, for better or worse, however you feel about Jared Kelnick, it's just not a great look for Snicker all the way around, the fact that he did it and the fact that he didn't realize it in real time.
I'm watching the Andrew Jones play. It happened in it was against the Cubbies.
Yeah.
And it was July of 1998.
There you go.
John Rocker is pitching. And Andrew Jones goes softly after a fly ball. Doesn't catch it.
Okay.
Lands
there
in front of him. Doesn't dive for it. He just casually runs up.
Yep.
Ball drops, catches it, flips it in.
Yeah.
Bobby Cox starts losing his in the dugout. And then replaces him right in the middle of the inning.
Yeah, my grandfather took me to that game. I was a Cubs fan. You know me. Daddy grew up in Chicago. That was. And how long ago are we talking? This, you said 98?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a long time ago, buddy. Like, we're talking about a monumental moment between Bobby Cox and Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
And nobody ever forgot it. Nobody's forgotten the Ronald Acuna.
I know.
But the thing is Jared Kelnick Andrew Jones or Ronald Acuna?
Meaning what, though?
Meaning, is he the kind of guy that you want to establish moving forward, or are you just saying Jared Kelnick might not be here at the end of the year?
You just want to set a standard, though.
Yeah.
The standard is, Jared Kelnick, you're the last guy that should be pimping anything.
The last guy.
You're like lucky that you're still getting a major league paycheck. You can't be counted on. You are like, you know, you had to go out and get a guy in the offseason because you're not delivering. And you're hanging on for dear life.
And look at what Verdugo is doing. That should be you. That should be you, what he did this weekend.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a lot to go around. And Latin American players are thinking, are there double standards?
100%.
Is there a different?
And they're right to question that.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. When we come back, more on this conversation. Rusty Manziel tells us, Georgia done did good, but how good in the portal? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a steakhouse live. This song bringing in WrestleMania vibes. I bet Bo Johnson was locked in. That was a dude. Like what a
100% locked in.
What a complete like masterclass on entertainment value.
So good.
John Cena reaching the Ric Flair level of 17 world titles, man.
He passed him. So he was tied with Flair.
Was he?
He passed Flair. He's on an island by himself with 17.
I don't know. I'd say you do the WWE thing. Ever? Did you ever do wrestling?
Yeah, growing up, big time.
Really?
Huge wrestling.
WWF?
WWF, Vince McMahon. It was more of a Northeast flavor back. Bruno Sammartino, yeah. Larry Zbysko, Ken Patera, superstar Billy Graham. Haystacks Calhoun.
Dude, I was WCW.
Chief J. Strombo.
I was a WCW, you know, the Ted Turner, Hulk Hogan.
My buddy ran WCW for years, Brad Siegel.
Dude.
Who was a returner. That was wild. They would show up, Scott Hall and company showing up at Braves games. They were mega stars. So what was the big highlight of WrestleMania?
How good? That's a Bo Johnson. So I John Cena wins his title.
It was in Vegas?
Oh, dude. Have you seen the video stake of the crowds leaving that venue and heading back to their hotel stake? A sea of people. And I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if something broke. Like I'm talking about like three times Bourbon Street Mardi Gras kind of thing. Like the mass amount of people moving from WrestleMania back to their casinos. Insanity, dude. You need to look up the video. Cody Rhodes, by the way, Lassiter grad up in Marietta, loses the title to John Cena. That's what the big story was. So, however you've had John
Lassiter
Cena.
Lassiter grad.
Lassiter graduate, yeah, up in Marietta.
Dad was
Cody
Dusty.
Rhodes, dad was Dusty.
So, you know, me, Mike Bell, and Dusty Rhodes used to work together all the time.
Okay, there you go.
We did a show at Goldberg's. This was the show.
Okay.
Myself, Dusty Rhodes, Mike Bell, and Dan Reeves.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
He's like, Daddy, I never thought I'd be. And Mike Bell does the. I never thought I'd be sitting at Goldberg's with a guy named Shapiro sitting here. I'm eating some bagels in Buckhead. Where has happened to Dusty Rhodes with Mike Bell? And then Dan Reeves is there all the time. So literally, it's like a surreal moment. Dusty Rhodes, Dan Reeves, Steak Shapiro, and Mike Bell. Hey, Bo, what was the other highlights, by the way? Was that a great match, by the way?
It really was. The biggest thing is Travis Scott comes out, helps John Cena win number 17. I mean, it's blatant cheating, but that's what a heel does. You know, and Travis Scott's the one that hit Cody in the face, jumps up on the ring apron. Cody's like, I remember you hit me in the face. You know, it was a whole big wrestling shtick thing.
I love it, dude. Did Roman Reigns wrestle?
Roman Reigns was in a triple threat. He was the main event from Saturday night.
Okay.
Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. Paul Heyman, if you're familiar with the wrestling world, turns his back on both CM Punk and Roman Reigns, helps Seth Rollins. They leave together. Seth Rollins.
Wait, so was it 2 days?
Yeah, it's two days. All the major ones, WrestleMania.
Saturday and Sunday. Friday.
Since COVID, WrestleMania and SummerSlam have been 2 days.
Friday and Saturday?
Saturday, Sunday.
Last night.
It was
last
usually
night
always
was
Sunday.
Was night two, one. Main event.
Yeah. Any other cameos of note?
Dude.
There's tons of celebrities, not a whole lot of involvement by other
celebrities. George Kittle's the one going viral.
Kittle was there ringside.
First of all, he's wearing shades.
Yeah,
he's wearing shades. You can only, you know.
He's a big wrestling guy.
Put two and two together on that.
He's a wrestling fan. He's actually very good friends with the wrestler Penta, who just came over from Lucha Underground about a few months ago.
Where was it? In Vegas.
Is it SoFi?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, it's SoFi.
I got to show you whatever stadium. Allegiant? SoFi is LA.
Allegiant Field, where the Raiders play.
I got to show Stig
63,000 both
insane.
Nights, two sellouts.
Did you see the videos of them walking back to their hotels and how insane the sea of people was leaving
it's
that
nuts.
Venue?
Yeah.
Because nobody's leaving early.
And by the way, it's not easy to get to. It's the other side of the strip.
Yes.
That's a couple-mile walk, having been to that stadium before.
Dude, it's insane.
All right, you want to talk to Russ? I'll just tell you this, that the tailgate is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Rusty Menzel joins us. Good morning, Rusty. How you doing, brother?
Man, rough Monday. You bring back some memories. I went to Memorial Gym one Thursday night with my dad to watch Abdul the Butcher fight Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty Rhodes wins in a knockdown, drag out, both guys bleeding. You know, it was probably a peak American moment. There's a little chicken shack, a little convenience store in Rome called Lion's Den. Me and my dad, we pull up in there about an hour afterwards, and all of a sudden, this big four-door Cadillac pulls up beside us. It's Abdullah and Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, my God.
That's, riding together.
That's classic, dude.
Dude.
Dude. Oh,
that is
when I tell
classic.
You, they went in and bought a bucket of chicken and about three cases of God knows what kind of beer for their ride home. But I've been in therapy ever since, I'll be honest with you. Seeing those two in the same car crushed me.
Man, that's a young man realizes there's no Santa Claus, huh?
Well, I tell you what, man, that was a bad day. And then, you know, Arn Anderson's from Rome. I mean, he's somebody I've known since I was a kid. So, hey, great, great high school football player, state champion at East Rome. So, shout out to Arn Anderson.
Yeah. Okay. As was Roman Reigns, by the way. I played against Roman Reigns in high school. He was an absolute animal.
I mean, for me to grow up covering, I was watching Dusty Rhodes when I was in junior high school. And then, 20 years later, I'm sitting there. He was a regular fill-in on 790 The Zone.
That's unbelievable.
Dude, so entertaining, just everywhere he went. I'm calling my buddies, I'm working with Dusty Rhodes right now. All right, let's talk about the weekend. I'll let you mention Braves briefly, and then I want to get to Georgia and some of the portal stuff. But they had to get hot. They did get hot. Then the Acuna, Snicker, Kelnick thing kind of overshadows a lot of that. Any thoughts on how that thing played out?
Clutch hitting by the Braves, first off. I mean, two-out hitting all weekend. At one point, they were 7 for 9, I think, with two outs yesterday. So, great job, momentum. Look, you try not to overreact, but when your superstar makes a comment about some managerial decisions and some things and not a good look, I would imagine they sit down and talk about it, but that kind of worries you a little bit. So, we'll see how that thing plays out. And need to get his butt back and get playing and quit worrying about being on Twitter right now.
Yeah, I mean, no question that it was just a guttural reaction to saying, why do I get benched? And what that guy did was every bit, if not more, heinous than what I did. And then Snick saying, I didn't see it. So, listen, we're in the sports talk radio world. We're not here sitting talking about tariffs and the stock market. So, in our world, it was big news. But in the spectrum, yeah. I mean, you know, as soon as he's back and cranking it, nobody's going to be thinking about any of that. What we are going to think about is Chris Sale trying to get back on track and obviously, Spencer Strider with another chance now to see his best stuff, we hope, and see it at home. I think that's going to be fun as well.
Yeah, man. And you and I talk about it a lot. And there's not a better atmosphere, in my opinion, maybe than the Battery and the Braves home weekend. And you look at the crowds and how energetic it was. I mean, on Easter weekend, you look at that, a 1:30 start yesterday, and I turned on the TV to look at it, and I'm like, man, this is the place to be, and we just all need this for the summer. We need it to be, but that's a special, special place, and you see the Braves atmosphere and how crowded it was. I will say this. I hadn't watched WrestleMania probably in 25 years. Don't even really know who all wrestles anymore. I didn't realize it was on Peacock last night, so I flipped over there and watched about an hour, hour and a half. I could not believe. Steak, if you have not seen the crowd, there wasn't an empty seat anywhere. I was so enamored by, I go look, 125,000 announced fans over 2 days. That's just as big as anything you can have in Las Vegas. You know, kudos to those guys and the product they're bringing out is great.
I watched the full Vince McMahon documentary, 6 parts, and it's just fascinating the business model with him out now and his family, that it's never been bigger. Running an American business at this level for this many years. Really incredible. All right, tell us, by the way, I'm watching the videos of folks leaving the building.
Yeah,
my
man.
God, it is like, it is Mardi Gras on steroids. Holy moly. The strip literally at a standstill from WrestleMania. All right, it was a good weekend for Georgia. Tell us about these portal kids. 3 signings, but one you say separates it from everybody else.
Yeah, I think the young man out of Army, Elo Madozzi out of Jacksonville, went to Bartram Trail High School. This is a guy that signed – Mike Johnson, you'll love this. This is a guy that signed with Army as a wide receiver, 196 pounds, played a little bit of defense in high school, but he plays, I think, 6 or 8 weeks on offense. And he goes, look, guys, I want to go play defense. And they move him over. 2 years later, he's 6'3.5", 243 pounds with a 81-inch wingspan. A lot of comparison to me to Aziz Ojulari, very similar. I think people looked at him and was like, there's no way that kid's 240. He was 243 this weekend in Athens. This is a guy that Georgia really, really is after, an edge guy. You know, you lose Damon Wilson. You got some other guys there, but they wanted an experienced guy. And I'll say this, the minute he went in, the second he went in, Georgia's all over him, and they were able to get him signed. He was not going to take any more business if Kirby Smart could do anything about it. They got him in this weekend, got his family here in town. You can imagine with the military background in him, got some Nigerian background with him. I think Chidera, the outside linebacker coach at Georgia, that resonated a lot with him. So I think it was a great fit for Georgia, but it might not make national news. But I'm telling you right now, that was a huge pickup for Georgia going into this season.
Rusty, I want to ask you too. The roster and the depth chart better than anybody at Georgia. For the people who don't follow the two and three deep, tell me the three guys that came out of this portal thing over the weekend. Tell me the names that they're replacing, whether guys are in the draft or whatever. Tell me the names at Georgia that they'd be replacing in those roles from last year.
You get the running back from Illinois and McCray, and you look at him, and this is the guy that rushed for 115 yards and two touchdowns against South Carolina. He's a 235-pound running back. Well, what did you lose last week? You lost Branson Robinson. Who was that? That was a 235-pound running back. So you kind of go there for there. Then you look at Madozi, and this is a kid that probably is going to take some minutes. Georgia lost 1,000 snaps. Chaz Chambliss, Jalen Walker, Michael Williams, and Dana Wilson, they lost 1,000 starting snaps at edge. They need help. They went and got it, and they may not be done there, but they added a big piece this weekend. And you look at Joshua Horton. It's a kid out of Langston Hughes. I covered him in high school. I'm not going to put him and say this is Ty Ingram Dawkins, because Ty Ingram Dawkins is going to be a top four round draft pick. But this is a guy, Mike, that's 6'4", 290 pounds. It's a guy that can play inside and play some five technique. He comes from a great school, Langston Hughes. Georgia recruited him out of high school, winds up going to Miami. He's coming home, got a couple teammates in Athens. So you start looking at places and kind of void. Those are the names, but I do think the edge defender out of Army is going to be a big deal for Georgia this year. A lot of people compare him to former Jordan Jenkins, who wound up playing 6 years in NFL. Jordan was a 6'3.5". Jordan was crazy. I think Jordan was 6'3.5", 235 pounds with an 83.5-inch wing. I used to tell him all the time, dude, you can stand up and tie your shoes. This is a guy with a lot of edge and a lot of reach and can bend. So I think Georgia fans are excited, but they're not done. We'll see what they do this week.
All right, Rusty. Good stuff. Appreciate the update. Looking forward to getting you hopefully on Friday after the draft and a lot of conversation. Any latest buzz either one of you have been feeling or thinking since we talked on Friday as this thing starts to play out? Michael Williams, 50-50 shot he's available where Georgia's picking, it feels like, at this point.
Yeah, starting to see. I saw Matt Miller put a tweet out a few minutes ago. He goes, Michael Williams is going to go a lot higher than these mocks. And I think that, too. I think that it's starting to, he might be there at 15. I'm not even sure. I saw one mock this morning from NFL.com that had him going 10 to the Bears, which was the first time I've seen that. So it's just according, Mike and those guys talked about this morning. I thought it was spot on. It's all about runs. What position makes the runs? And if those defensive ends start popping off really quick, Michael Williams will wind up making a bigger jump than probably anticipated.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There's Rusty telling you, Georgia, not playing around in the portal, as you knew. They're very clear on the guys they want. They're very clear on how to go get them. They have all the boxes to check when you're talking to a parent or you're talking to a kid about why you come to Athens.
They have something that every other program almost in America wants, and that is a coach that has won multiple national titles in the middle of a dynasty. That, like, Bama hopes that they get to that, right? There's programs around the SEC and around the ACC in the country, the Big Ten, that hope they get to that. Georgia's got that in their back pocket. When Kirby Smart steps up with you the multiple rings and says, hey, I want you to play for me, with all the draft picks he's got in his back pocket, the snaps played, the money made in the NFL, that speaks, dude. In a day and age where the rest of college football can blend together, where agents are talking to coaches and just negotiating, and players aren't even coming to the campuses until they have a contract offer for an NIL, Kirby Smart being able to step in front of you, it speaks to players still to this day. It does. And that's the one thing that can separate you if you're a Georgia in terms of this portal that other programs do not have right now.
Yeah, whether you go to USC, whether you go to Miami, whether you went to Florida the year before for a tailback, or whether you're going to the three schools you just went to, which was Illinois, Miami, and Army, they are just so clear on what their needs are. And I just don't think that they struggle with having to convince kids like some of these other schools.
They're having to turn them away. Like that would, and I'm just being honest, man. I loved going to Bama. But if I was going to be a portal guy, I would be personally, just me, I'd be looking for a place that I could win a national title. And if there's one person in this country that can sell that, It's Kirby Smart. You can say all you want to about Ryan Day, you know, finally getting over the hump or whatever you want about some of the other Big Ten programs, dude. You saw Michigan win 2 years ago, and then they weren't very good last year, right? That's not going to happen with Georgia and Kirby Smart. You know what you're getting when you sign
them. Standard of excellence. You played in it for Saban. Yeah. You started it with Saban, and then the next 15 years, right? Once you won your national title.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, are you have to be somewhere.
No, man, I'm good. I'm hanging out with you.
Wow.
Hanging out with you. I don't want to make you.
This guy's the warrior.
I don't want to get your head too big, but yeah, I enjoy this.
Well, we have fun together. we're like-minded individuals, granted from different eras. When we come back, I got a lot of thoughts sitting pretty much courtside the other night at the Hawks. Not going to lie to you. Phenomenal night, horrendous ending, and what it tells us about where we are going or not going as an Atlanta Hawks fan. And I am going to ask Hawks fans to step up and tell me where your head's at. Because I've never been in an off season. I know we're paid for opinion. I don't know what my opinion is right now, what to do. Steak and Mike Johnson, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Yeah, I do miss you, Ronald Acuna. I miss you in the lineup. That's what I miss. I don't miss you tweeting over the weekend, which happened after the hadn't heard by now. I'm sure you have. Tarik Helnick doesn't run out of ball, gets thrown out at second. He was watching it go over the fence and did not, and then does not get benched. Ronald Acuna says, if that was me, I would have been benched. He says it on Twitter. He deletes it. Brian Snicker the next day ain't to answer and doesn't say he saw the play. Said, I wasn't watching. I just saw him get thrown out at second. And then he then goes on to say essentially that Kelnick came and apologized, and it was over.
Here's the thing. I think they were all three. I think they all three would like to have that moment back. I think Snicker, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think Snicker comes out looking worse than any of the three of them. I think like Kelnick pimping it when you're hitting 180, not good. Acuna taking to Twitter, not good either.
Not even with the team. You're ripping your manager.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
My manager has double standards. You're from afar causing controversy. You're in a three-game winning streak, and you got two nitwits like me and you sitting here talking about this because your best player who's not with the team is deciding to go after his manager.
It's organizational rules.
Yeah. So, well, and again, I want to shout out a couple people on Twitter that have pointed out this also happened with Marcell Ozuna a couple of years ago where he wasn't hustling. He gets pulled out of the game. We can say all we want to, Steak, that it's different for this or it's different for that. The optics of it are terrible from Brian Snicker's standpoint.
The Latin player that is Ronald Acuna is saying there's a double standard. That's what's happening.
MVP player.
Yeah, we know Brian Snicker, and I would find it incredibly hard to believe that he makes decisions in any way. It's just a bad look across the board. Not anything that won't go away. But I don't know. Brian Snicker could certainly want to lay into Ronald Acuna, and I'm sure that Alex probably called him and said, "Is that good for our team?" But then the other end is Ronald Acuna can say, "Okay, then explain to me why I get benched and this guy doesn't."
100%. And I don't think there's a good. I don't know what the explanation would be from Snicker's standpoint or Anthopoulos or whoever else. That would sound good to you if you're Ronald Acuna.
He is your best player. He's not Orlando Arcia, you know?
Right.
I mean, so, you know, this is your MVP. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Bo will take your calls for you if you want to talk about that. I was very excited for Friday night. And I said on the air, don't believe all the Miami hype. They're now favored in the game.
Yeah.
Heat culture. They had a blowout win on the road against Chicago. We looked terrible against Orlando. All of a sudden, Miami, if the game had been played earlier in the week before those two games, the Hawks would have been favored. The public watches Miami win big. They see the Hawks lose big. And all of a sudden, Miami's a two-point favorite for the game. I said, I like Atlanta. We're playing at home. They don't have Jimmy Butler. He's not on that team. This is a 10 seed. No 10 seed has ever made the NBA playoffs. It's never happened.
Never happened. And this is the fifth year of that, the play-in.
Never happened. Miami Heat did it. And they did it by coming in here with a scrappy team, not overly talented, you know, a superstar in Tyler Hero, an Olympic player in Cam Adebayo, you know, the Duncan Robinsons of the world and the role players that some of these other guys are. And they were better. How do I know they're better? They blew us out in overtime. They led by 17 at one point. We had to fight and scratch and claw. What is it, Davion Mitchell, who hits three threes in overtime?
Dude.
What the hell was that?
I don't even know, but it's like I said to you a minute ago. Everything that the Hawks did throughout that game, and in overtime it was magnified, looked way more difficult than what the Heat were doing.
Yeah, if Onyeka Okongwu doesn't go for 50 minutes and put up 28 and 12, we're not even in the game.
No.
Zachary Risacher got sat down and never came back.
Yeah.
Trey took a while to get going. And then you start to say, right, if you're running an organization and your goal is to, you know, compete to be one of the tops in your industry, you're in a play-in for 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
You're in a play-in with DeJounte. You're in a player without DeJounte. You're in a play-in with D'Andre Hunter, and you're in a play-out, you know, without him. I mean, you're just – it's the needle's not moving. Jalen Johnson is not Jimmy Butler.
No.
He's not – like, you didn't lose a perennial first-team All-Star. Yeah. You lost a decent player, a good player. But I mean, let's just not hold our hat that everything is fine. Injuries are going to happen regardless,
yeah.
Right? So look at the great teams out there. Cleveland can survive injury. Celtics can survive injury. Oklahoma City is loaded. Those games yesterday were awful because the cream of the crop is Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Boston, and who am I leaving out? They had a blowout win yesterday in the West. I mean, those three teams, the top seeds,
yeah,
just blew doors.
Yeah. Well, and here's the conversation stake that I think, and I consider myself an average Hawks fan. That's what I consider. I'm an average Hawks fan. I think the dynamic that you are having, the inner dialogue you are having if you're a Hawks fan right now is this. You feel like all arrows from your roster right now are pointing up. Dyson Daniels was a hit, finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. Trae Young was playing defense at a higher level than he has in his career. You saw the hustle, the belly flop, everything else. Zachary Risacher looks like a bona fide good player. Now, he wasn't your normal number one pick, but he's going to be a good player. Jalen Johnson will come back, continue to develop. Onyeka had a great – all those stars are pointing up. The problem is, Stake, the inner dialogue you have as a Hawks fan is you then ask yourself, the way this team is constructed, even if all those players play to the best of their ability, as this team is constructed, what is the ceiling? And I don't know that the ceiling is a championship.
And is the ceiling – forget about the Celtics and Cavs because their ceiling is so far ahead of yours. Is your ceiling as good as the Knicks, who looks like they put together a nice little core? Is it as good as the Pacers, who people would tell you in Indiana, they're trending up. They've been ahead of the Hawks.
They're
playing in the 4 or 5. Knicks are playing out of the 3. Pistons, absolutely, with Cade Cunningham. You look and you go, wow, no one saw this coming. They're in there as a 6.
Yeah.
We're not even in the playoffs.
No.
Here's some post-game. Quinn Snyder. I guess he's going with the adversity card.
This year has been full of a lot of things. We'll go through them all, whether it's, you know, just adversity in many different shapes and sizes, which is, you know, typical of an NBA season and typical of life. But I thought the way that this group handled those things, you know, over a period of 80 plus games, is something that's commendable.
Stake, if you listen close enough, you know what you can hear? You can hear Brian Snicker last year saying we went through a lot of injuries and adversity. The problem for Quinn Snyder is you're not 2 years removed from a world title.
Right.
Because if you listen close enough, that sounded like Brian Snicker. Well, we made the play-in round, but we weren't quite able to get out of it. We didn't actually make the playoffs. We had a lot of adversity.
I like that Quinn Snyder said, which is typical of any season, right? You know, were we overwhelmed with injuries? No, we had one really bad one. And we have Clint Capella, but Trey played, Dyson
Nance,
played.
Whatever.
Yeah. It just, that's the NBA, yeah. Right? You went up by 6 in the 4th, and they came out of the timeout. I think they scored 7 in a row. You had a chance. Trey Young saying, this is getting old.
We all look at a season differently. For me personally, not making the playoffs is a failure for me. no matter who's out there. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much adversity with injuries we've had to face, I still feel like we've had a good enough group to make the playoffs and at least go in there and compete.
Trae Young, do you know what year he's entering next year?
I think next year is what, year eight? Yeah, year eight.
Eight.
You know why I know that? Because he said just a couple of weeks ago, talking about the referees, hey, man, I'm in year seven. You know what I mean? Clean slate. I'm in year seven. I'm not 19 years old anymore. That's how I know he's entering year eight next year.
Yeah, I know that the frustration for Tony Ruffler watching a team. I don't know what you guys thought the other night, 404-726-0929. I don't know what to say. I really don't know. Zachary Risacher showed that he's nowhere near getting ready to play at that level in the playoffs.
Yes.
So he needs 30 pounds. Can you gain 30 in an offseason? No.
He should be drinking 15. A protein shake right now.
I mean, so right undersized now. In that game.
Yeah.
Here's Landry Fields talking about being impatient, I guess.
It's not just for players, for all of us. Like, I sit up here and I'm like, dang, I'm impatient right now, and I'm the one over here preaching it, right? So there's this mirror factor to it where I'm like, I want it now. Like, I want this to happen now. I wanted the playoffs. I wanted us to be not doing this and be in Cleveland, on my way to Cleveland now. That's not where we're at right now. So there's a level of patience that you almost have to exercise, because if you become impatient, you get hijacked in the moment, and then you're not actually seeing clearly for the very next move that you do have to make.
So he's saying you have to be patient. How do you tell a fan base that has lived through the Hawks now being off the radar for constant seasons?
That's all Hawks fans have ever been told in their existence. Am I right? Like, that's all they've ever been told in their existence is to be patient. And like I said a minute ago, Steak, The inner monologue, the dialogue you're having with yourself, is all arrows are pointing up. The problem is, how high do those arrows go?
Right, that's a great
point. You don't know.
What really is the ceiling? I mean, the ceiling is you're better, you're a 4 or 5 seed, you certainly are playing more competitive. Listen, you didn't get a playoff game. You didn't get a playoff series.
Yeah.
This was a do-or-die game, but you are out of the playoffs. The Miami Heat are a 10 seed. Are they really good? What did I tell you? But they don't have Jimmy Butler. They're a average team. You know how I know that? Cleveland dusted them yesterday with no problem at all.
Yeah.
No problem at all. That Heat team you lost to, there is nothing special about them whatsoever. Jimmy Butler makes them completely different. The Heat team that beat you, when you're up by 6 in the position that you were in, I mean, it's something that you should be, you know.
And Steak, I know what Hawks fans are
Alec
thinking right now.
Burks is starting. Haywood Highsmith, Davon Mitchell, Duncan Robinson, Andrew Wiggins, nice enough player, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's who you're losing to at home? At home?
And not only that, we're glossing over the fact Paolo Banchero goes for, what, 36 last night? And you get in the Celtics win by,
yeah,
you know, 20.
By the way,
yeah,
that's a great point. Like, where's Orlando? They've got two legitimate stars in Wagner and Paolo Banchero.
Yes.
And they're big guys. They're not a 6'1 point guard that can't play defense. And I'm not trying to be mean about Trey, but would you rather – there's not an NBA GM in basketball that would take the Hawks over the Magic right now. No chance. Paolo Banchero is a – Jaylen Brown, Tatum type, Donovan Mitchell, where you go, that guy's going to win a title.
I tweeted the other night when I was watching that game, was that last Tuesday? I was like, a dude that size should not be that nimble.
Right.
It's impossible.
No, you look at him and you go, that dude's going to win a title.
It doesn't even look real, Steak. He looks like one of the Monstars.
Right.
He looks like one of the Monstars at Space Jam holding the ball.
Wagner at 23, he had 36. The problem is their supporting cast, Wendell Carter, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, those guys. But listen, you're not taking that roster behind the Hawks. You're not taking the Knicks roster behind the Hawks. You're not taking the Pacers roster behind the Hawks. So I don't know what the hell you do. I'm frustrated. I go to more Hawks games than I ever have. The other night was so fun until it wasn't. And then who was that?
It's a great game. It was a great game. It was a great game.
Do you know how long the NBA playoffs are going to be going on?
Oh, another month.
2.5. Dude.
Yeah.
What are we in now? What's the date?
Let's see. What are you, the 21st? 21st?
Yeah. At least 8 weeks, we're going to be not watching the NBA playoffs. At least 8 more weeks, right?
It's going to
end in late June. We're in April. You realize that? And we're not even in it.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right.
Does anybody feel it? Like,
it hurts.
Feel, Yeah, it does hurt.
It hurts, man.
All right. Love to hear from you on both those topics. You got something on the Kelnick, Ronald Acuna. Is Ronald absolutely justified to say what is going on here? And as a Hawks fan, gosh, is the ceiling that high with Jalen and Dyson and Risa Shea and now Okongwu? He looked amazing. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Things that lit over the weekend coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Mike Johnson, Bo Johnson as well. Thanks so much for being with us. A lot of things on the docket if you want to chat about it. Obviously, going back to the Braves, maybe we'll play some of the stuff from our first segment here, Bo, because it is a deal. It is a story when the best player in your organization calls out your manager on social media. He obviously was irked by Jared Kelnick not running out that ball on Saturday, and then nothing happened to him. He gets thrown out at second, a horrendous look, and then Ronald Acuna says, "That with me, I would have been benched." He since erases it. But certainly not a good look. If you got Snit ready to go, let's hear a couple from Snit right here. First, he was asked yesterday prior to the game about the deleted tweet from Ronald Acuna.
I didn't have any. I mean, I don't do social media, number one. And I heard about it as I was walking to the dugout. Heard something was up, and then I came in and they said it was down. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know.
All right, so kind of brushing it off.
Snit doesn't do social. Least shocking thing I'll hear all day. Snicker doesn't do social. Shocker. Yeah, color me shocked.
The reason you have people all around your organization is so your manager does not have to be on Twitter or anywhere like that, so you're at least made aware of it. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it till the following morning. Although it would have been like midnight or 1 a.m., and I guess some PR guy's not going to call him back.
You know, you would know these situations probably better than me because of like PR and things like that. But what, like, who's, like, is it a case where you just assume, like, if you're surrounding Brian Snicker Saturday night, are you just assuming somebody else let him know? Like, are you just looking at him going, well, it's not my job?
That's your head of media that probably decides what he needs to know or not know. Or maybe his wife would have said something or somebody. I'm sure she's not on. I mean, I don't know. Like, and then he says, like, the explanation is not when he was on the field, he didn't even see it, which was kind of interesting. We're going to play that cut, Snit explaining what happened. And so the cut we played earlier, there is Jared Kelnick, who at one point says,
"Yeah,
I went right to the manager and apologized,"
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he needed to. And I think that has a lot to do with everything, that, you know, the optics of it. And Brian Snicker said it yesterday. He said, look, there's a guy plays with his hair on fire. You don't expect that to come from him. And I, you know, look, hat tip to Jared Kelnick for walking into the manager's office and not allowing Brian Snicker to come to him. The fact that he had to do it, though, the fact that Brian Snicker wasn't even aware at the moment, it to me is the story stake. The fact that Brian Snicker is looking at this going, yeah, I didn't even see the tweet. I didn't even know what happened with Jared Kelnick. So some of the iPad. Like, what? Like, what are we talking about?
It's just timing and all of everything. I think there's no blanket thing doing that. Quite honestly, I if you want to know the truth, I wasn't watching that play. I knew he got thrown out at second. I didn't see it till this morning, and then I talked to him about it. If you don't run, then it's a big time like that, yeah. But I quite honestly, I don't look for him to not do it because he plays with his hair on fire all the time, and he's laying out. And I didn't know it till I saw this morning. I went in and I looked at it when I got here, and then I had a discussion with him, and we got it squared away.
Listen, I love Brian Snicker. I think he's been the best thing for the Braves through this stretch. It's a hard explanation to say he didn't see it and then have no bench coach case. Like, bro, he just absolutely – that was a disaster. I mean, that was a disaster. If you lose that game, Jared Kelnick literally didn't move out of the box and then scrambles to get to second and doesn't even get there, right?
There's so many different components to this thing. Verdugo's a left-handed bat who's now hitting leadoff. In all your mind, you would have loved for Kelnick to be the guy that Verdugo was this past weekend. You add in the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr. will be back in a few weeks, right? And Kelnick will be, at that point, judging off what Verdugo is doing right now, will be fighting for a spot to just get a little bit of PT.
Yeah.
You add all that in together, he's hitting 180.
If he has a bad 2 weeks, he's not going to be on the roster.
Exactly.
He's not going to be on the roster.
Exactly.
Here he is talking about the tweet that he saw or did not see, Jared Kelnick.
I just found out about it just not too long ago. I honestly still don't really know the whole context of it. But I don't, like, it doesn't matter to me what anybody says. The reality is that I know the responsibility of my actions, and my word means more than anybody else's. So, I just got to be better, and that won't happen again.
The alpha male is Ronald Acuna. So it's not like Kelnick's going to get in his face when he comes back. I mean, like you said, he'll be lucky to be on the team in 2 weeks.
What's funny is Kelnick's sitting here going, dude, I was in the Mariners AAA team when this happened in 2009. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know the history.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I don't know the history between these two.
I mean,
listen,
it doesn't be in good stead with a teammate. He's not taking shots at Kelnick. He's taking shots at his manager.
Yeah.
Of saying, like, same situation. I get benched.
Yeah.
I don't know why what happened there.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I don't know the context of this. All I know is I was around Ronnie for like 2 months last year. He was cool. We were fine. And, you know, I should have ran out of the box, which, shocker, you should have.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We touched on the Hawks. We'll keep trying to figure out what their offseason moves are. You're going to have to settle into an NBA playoffs for months without us in it. It's going to be months. And then there is breaking news, sort of, about the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, there definitely was this morning. So anybody that follows Adam Schefter, and say what you will about Adam Schefter, dude, he's got his pulse on the NFL. He knows people in every single building and is being fed information.
Some people not like Adam Schefter?
I think that, you know, Schefter deals with the same thing the Rappaports of the world do. You know, the whole Aaron Rodgers, like, lose my number thing. How much credit do we give this guy? Is he really, you know, what? Say whatever you want to about him. He knows what's going on in the NFL behind closed doors.
I'll say something about him. He's the best in the business.
Exactly.
That's what I'll say.
Exactly. So he puts out his news and notes for draft week earlier today, and here's what he says, and I'll read this verbatim. He's talking about Kirk Cousins, all right, and what the future is of Kirk Cousins with the Falcons organization. Here's what he says. Atlanta has asked for an acquiring team to pay $20 million of the $45 million worth of guarantees left on Cousins' contract. To date, no one's been willing to do that. No team is expected to be willing to, but what happens this weekend – and which franchises come out of the draft with or without rookie quarterbacks could influence how much guaranteed money a team would be willing to absorb on Cousins' contract. So, and I said this about this morning's take, I think you break this draft, if Kirk Cousins, you break this draft into two pieces, before Thursday night's 32nd pick and after, right? You break it like there is going to be news before maybe or news after. I want to know who gets a quarterback in the first round of the draft.
Who is the starting quarterback under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, their first game in September? Who's their starting quarterback?
I think it's Aaron Rodgers. I think all signs point to Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a guy. I don't think that rules them out, though, and we've talked about this a bunch. I don't think that rules them out of taking a Jalen Milroe at 21. I just don't. I think that Arthur Smith likes a quarterback inside the red zone specifically.
The only thing Desmond Ridder did well.
Exactly.
Desmond Ridder inside the red zone had some key runs.
Exactly.
His legs. Arthur loved him in that play. Those plays.
Aaron Rodgers is not that guy. He never has been, but he's definitely not now. And Kirk Cousins is not that guy. So two of the names mentioned is the Vikings and the Steelers. Adam Schefter said there's a feeling around the league that whether it is the Vikings or Steelers, they might be willing to pay down roughly $10 million of that. But, you know, it goes on to say that basically anything about, draft picks and compensation and all that really goes back to who needs a quarterback after Thursday night.
All right, let's do a quick thing. I learned that you'll have this experience in, I don't know, 15 years or so.
All right.
Nothing more fun than your daughter coming home from college with her girlfriends and getting to be a fly on the wall to try to, I mean, like, Kimberly's out of town. My daughter's out of town. Me and Bobby were having a boys' weekend. And then these three college girls come rolling in with their own agenda. First of all, it takes two of them their first trip ever to the Battery in Truist Park. These are girls from out of town, Jacksonville, Memphis. Hearing them talk about the Braves game, that rally Friday night.
Yes.
Being in the building for that rally.
Yeah.
They are Braves fans for life, those girls.
But
right?
Y'all both got to see rallies then. The Hawks just come up a little bit short.
Yeah, we have a 17-point rally in the Hawks game. We just didn't close the deal. The other thing I will say is the amount of analysis about whether to send an Instagram photo and figure out if they're like one of these girls. So she'd been on a date with this guy, but she's not dating him. Yeah. But she had a great picture of herself. So if she sends the picture she loves of herself on the beach and he's there, does that now make them official of some kind?
Yeah.
The analysis, it was like the I don't know. It was like the summit post-World War II to figure out what I mean, the break. Well, if I put it on, then she sends it.
Dude.
And the dude says, beautiful. No way! Oh! I knew he was gonna do it. Erase it. Right? I mean,
oh dude.
I'm just saying, what do you think? I was like, first of all, I shouldn't be looking at that photo.
No.
Of you on the beach with this dude, right?
Not a good
look. I'm 58 years old. I cannot provide insight.
Look away.
I cannot provide insight.
Look away, Steak.
Finally, we learned. Kudos to my friend Dennis Scott. All the announcers go dead. Play-by-play in color last night for the NBA game. I think it was the third game of the night. Maybe it wasn't Houston. It was the Cavs game, maybe. I don't friggin' know. Dennis Scott, standing on the sideline, says, I'll do the play-by-play.
And right now, fans, we have a little technical difficulty. Bear with us as Andrew Wiggins has the ball right now in the wing. Pass to Ware. Back to Wiggins for the three. Money ball. All right, Donovan Mitchell comes down the right wing. Jared Allen set the screen. Swings it. Garland being patient. Attacks the floater. Misses.
Kudos.
Miami Heat with the rebound.
To Dennis Scott. Never done play-by-play in his life.
He got so much more comfortable over the 2 minutes. Like, I listened to the whole 2 minutes.
It started rough.
He was like, and then about 60 seconds in, you can tell he starts feeling the vibes. And he's like, step back, jumper, yeah. You're like, all right, man, yeah, he's starting to feel good.
No,
boy.
No better guy in all of sports in 3D, Dennis Scott. I'll just say this, too, about Charles and the pregame. They had a conversation about Ozempic. He goes, I got to go on a diet, man. I can't be eating those cookies. And they're like, diet? What's a diet? You take a shot and you stick it in your stomach? Is that your diet? Charles like, yeah, you got to teach me how to do those shots. Ernie's like, I've taken them for blood thinners. It's not hard. Charles like, I know. I got to get back on the shot. Like, remember when people were hiding like their Ozempic or any of that stuff? Now it's just out there.
There's nobody left to hide. No. Everybody's doing it. Nobody
Everybody's
left.
Skinny. Nothing left to hide. We'll come back. Final segment coming up. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's Sports Radio 929 The Game. Thanks to Mike Johnson, who's giving me extra hours today.
Hey, man, no problem. Look, the gallon of coffee I had this morning, it'll wear off at some point, Steak, but not anytime soon, man.
Miss Kate, who hosted, my sister-in-law hosted a wonderful Easter yesterday, and she had like 23 of us. She just said, Mike Johnson should join the steakhouse. Big fan. So now I'm going to have a two-hour show with six co-hosts?
What was
like, how many more co-hosts am I going to have?
I'll fit right in. What was her? What was the best dish she had going?
She made these fajitas where she's into healthy, so it was all these different proteins like tilapia and chicken, and then all the fixings, guac, sour cream, all that.
I didn't see that one coming.
I know.
Usually don't talk about tilapia at a taco bar.
Well, she's into a health thing, so I was fine.
Yeah. Pescatarian.
Orzo. Like the ricey dish.
Yeah, I know exactly what that is. Good stuff.
Watermelon.
Yeah. Dang, dude.
I mean, my wife and I are not doing well, though. I didn't want to bring this up on the air. I don't know. Is this like grounds for, should I just say it? So like, I went home earlier because my daughter just got back from New Orleans. I had to drive her home, and my wife stayed to clean up.
Yeah.
And I go, listen, honey, there was that cake as I was leaving. What was that? She's like, yeah, it was one of those nothing bun cakes. I was like, I'm thinking vanilla ice cream, nothing bun cake, later tonight, around 9 or 10, in my bedtime treat, whatever.
Dude.
She gets home. I'm upstairs. I come down. I go, where's that cake? Oh, I totally forgot. I go, yeah, you forgot, huh? Just forgot, huh?
Just mark that one in the category along with everything else you've been messing
with. So then I joke a half hour later. I was like, how's that Uber Eats delivery thing going on? Yeah. She goes, oh, what do you mean? What's going on? I mean, you blew the nothing but cake delivery. You didn't bring it home. This is called I'm going to try to teach you, which she enjoyed when you talked to your wife that way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to teach you how you overcompensate by you get me a dessert. Call a Cafe Intermezzo, get a little Brewster's, but nothing.
I pull it. My wife got here. She got mad at me Saturday night. She's preparing the Easter baskets, you know, as one does. And I'm there in moral support, but I'm not stuffing eggs currently. Right. And she just gives me the, do me a favor, either help or go upstairs. And I was which one should
you stayed? You stayed, right?
Yeah, I stayed. Yeah. I was like, do you need to
listen, I'm better off. Nothing bunt cake was going to be nothing bunt belly for me if I ate it, right? But you know when you get
nothing
yourself geared
up?
Nothing
bunt muffin top.
Yeah. But I got myself geared up, and I'm just like, all right, you're coming home with something. And then, like, just the look of despair when I found out, because I had already planned out. I had vanilla ice cream left over. I was going to have the nothing bunt cake.
Dude.
I was sitting there watching the getting ready to watch The Last of Us. Let me just say this. And I absolutely am not going to give a spoiler. One of the most riveting hours of television I've ever watched in my entire life. Oh, my God. Episode 2, Season 2, The Last of Us. OMG! Exclamation. If you haven't watched, do it soon before social media just goes crazy. Just go watch.
You're such a good salesman, dude. Because now I'm automatically texting my wife, going, "Hey, have you? Is anybody your friends see?
Did you episode one?
Never watched any of them. We've been on
season one is
the HBO
tremendous.
Show we've been on lately. The HBO Max show.
Which one?
You know, the one where they're at the island. They're I can't even remember the name of it, but you know what I'm talking.
White
about.
Lotus.
Yeah, White Lotus. Yeah, we've been on White Lotus. Yeah, the island.
Dude, do The Last of Us. Did you do The Last of Us last night? Do you know about it? You're watching WrestleMania,
right? I was watching WrestleMania. I had to work, and then I got home.
Did you watch episode one?
Last of Us? Yeah.
Okay, watch episode two. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Here, you want to do our big game of the night with the Braves? Go ahead. You got the matchup tonight for us? Mikey.
Oh, what's up?
You're in charge of big game of the night.
Oh, I'm in charge of big game of the night? What does that mean? I don't know.
So the biggest game of the night we preview, and it's brought to you by John Foy and Associates. We pick a game, and usually it's the hometown team, or Bo can do that for us.
Okay, no, it's no worry. I just wasn't sure. You know what I mean? I'm doing my best over here, but I'm trying to fit in with you guys. I do want to be part of the steakhouse. It's Fetty tonight against Schwellenbach. Schwelly with the 2.55 ERA. How about the Braves heavily favored though against the 9-13 Cardinals? That'll be Truist Park tonight at 7:15. I, for one, don't think Spencer Schwellenbach is going to drop back-to-back games. I think that's why you see the Braves heavily favored. He's been good.
What's the number?
Minus
190?
Yeah, 190. Yeah, that's pretty solid. The Cardinals not good either. So.
All right, here's our three strikes question. The one team you care about in the NBA playoffs. I just think for folks to have 2 months and we're not even in it, just sucks. Like two months, we're going to have to. So is the one team that you care about in the NBA playoffs my favorite chocolate. So there's all kinds last night. There's Easter egg chocolate. There was white bunny chocolate.
Yeah.
There's the old Hershey's bar. There's like I'm not a sweets guy per se, which is why when I was ready to go bunt cake, I really wanted to.
Yes.
Are you going to waste the calories on chocolate or
I'm
not?
Definitely wasting them on chocolate. I'm not a sweets guy. Like I don't like the sugar candies.
Okay, so what's the chocolate?
Smarties. I'm Reese's. Reese's bunnies. Like peanut Reese's butter and chocolate. Oh, dude. Come on.
Could you just hammer those?
Just hammer a whole package. My wife knows that, like, whatever she doesn't put in the eggs, you got to hide the rest of it, dude. Don't even leave it sitting around.
And finally, an episode of TV you'll never forget. An episode of TV that you will never forget. What do we talk about from Thrones? Battle
the Red
of the
Wedding,
Bastards,
dude.
The Red Wedding.
The Red Wedding. I mean, come on.
Battle of the Bastards was pretty
Battle of the Bastards was good. I think the Red Wedding was one of them. I've never been more shook after a television show in my whole life.
I know.
That was could
Red
not
Wedding
believe
came
what I was watching.
Immediately to mind when you said that.
Yes, same.
Yeah, immediately.
It's one of the most legendary episodes of television in the history of TV.
Well, the reason why I don't want to go back and watch Game of Thrones again is because of episodes like that.
Yeah.
It's too traumatizing.
The Ned Stark
episode.
The way
that thing comes together. And she's just begging, like, for her to save her kids' lives and the whole thing. I mean, listen, Thrones did it time and again. What does he die in the first, in seventh episode?
Yeah.
Season finale is.
I don't think it's the finale. I think it's the second to last, I want to say.
No,
the penultimate episode, maybe? Yeah.
I think it was the penultimate of the first
season. When the dad gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ned Stark.
I don't think there was a finale, though. I remember thinking,
it wasn't the finale.
Yeah, yeah. You're like mid-season, and you're like,
wait, what? They're not going to kill him. They're not going to kill him.
Yeah, no way. He's the main character.
Right. Is that that?
What? Like, is this a flashback?
404-726-0929. The one team you care about in the NBA playoffs, my favorite chocolate, and an episode of TV that you will never forget. I'm trying to think of any like comedies over the years that you know resonates in that capacity.
I mean, you talk about like the final episodes of all of them.
When James Evans dies in Good Times, Before Your Time. Final episode of Seinfeld for all the wrong reasons because it was so bad, but.
I got one. It wasn't the final episode of The Office. It's the final one of Michael Scott, though, when he leaves like a day. He tells everybody he's leaving the next day, but that ends up being his last day at work. And then Pam follows him to the airport and tells him goodbye. She leaves her mic. That was a big, big episode. The show lasted like three more seasons.
Who replaced him?
Will Ferrell.
Oh. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, Will Ferrell did.
Where do you rank The Office? 1 to 10.
Sitcom wise, I'm saying 1. Sitcom wise,
one to 10 being the highest.
No, it's 10. I can watch The Office.
What about Parks and Rec?
7. It's all right.
404-726-0929. Where do you put Curb or Seinfeld or any of that?
I never was a Curb guy. Seinfeld's great. It's a little bit before my time.
So Office is your number one all time?
The Office, as far as sitcoms go, yeah, number one all time, for sure. You go back to like the 90s, you can get like Friends, Fresh Prince, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, as far as sitcoms go,
it's your mojo.
Numero uno on sitcoms.
Look at that cap.
Not TV series, just sitcoms.
All right.
Yeah.
The one team you care about in the playoffs, my favorite chocolate, an episode of TV you will never forget, 404-726-0929. You have a Cardinals team that's mediocre, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, you know,
your
major league
too.
Lineups. Yeah, you're mediocre also.
I said it this earlier about beating the Twins. You're like, Twins aren't good. Well, neither are we. So it's good.
Schwellenbach, I agree in that. Remember, we had Spencer after we won game one in Toronto. We lost both game two and three of that series.
Yeah.
Now we have Spencer again, right?
Yeah.
Seems like the timing is right. And, man, I'm going to tell you, the come from behind on Friday night when you're down 4-1 in the eighth and you got back on track, that may be a turning point. Because if you lose that game, you are at, I think you were 5-13. You were 8 games under 500.
Yes, dude. Yes.
And that propelled you. Then you got the home run back going and everything else. But, I mean, you get beat by Minnesota on a Friday night. And you're just like, this can't get any worse.
It's just the same thing happened last time, to your point. You had the Grant Holmes game, and you're like, oh, Grant Holmes is supposed to be our number 5.
I know.
We shouldn't. The Spencers, though, both the Spencers are going, you're not going to lose both those, and then you did.
How about it can't happen again. How about Grant Holmes, what he's giving?
Shoving right now. Shoving
what
is the worst
thing.
What
he's giving you right now.
He's been unbelievable, man. He really has. He's been unbelievable.
Let's do 3 strikes. Mention Walking Dead because I didn't watch it as much. Where did they film it? In
Hanoi is where most of it was filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So down which season, Street. Which episode?
I don't remember the season, but everybody remembers the episode. It's the episode where Negan with the bat, and it's one of the most gruesome episodes of television you will ever see.
Jeez, we got a lot of lines to go. Good stuff. Hey, Rob in Northwest Georgia, you want to play 3 strikes?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, give me.
Yeah, let's do it.
Give me the. One team you care about in the playoffs?
I'm a big Anthony Edwards fan, so I'm going for the T-Wolves.
I love seeing them beat Luka, dude. I can't root against the Lakers enough. Enough of Luka.
Enough. For real.
Anthony Edwards was awesome the other night. Your favorite chocolate?
I mean, it's a wild card. I like the shell-shaped chocolates from Aldi. I don't know where it comes from, but that's the best chocolate ever ate.
Random.
An episode of TV you'll never forget.
Probably the pedo episode on Different Strokes. I was a kid, and it made me scared of every single person that I didn't know that tried to talk to me.
I'm not familiar.
Wow.
Not familiar. I'm Googling now.
Did he say the pedo episode? Does that mean one of the kids gets kidnapped or something? Andrew and Buckhead. Andrew, the one team you care about in the NBA playoffs.
I'm from Orlando, so Orlando and 7 stake. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's the truth.
They had a nice first half. They have the right guy in Paolo Banchero, but Mm-hmm. Not enough for the, you know that. Not enough to hang on the Celtics.
No, I believe it.
But the
future's
bright. Future's bright with those two guys.
Need a guard. Need a guard. Need Trey. Trey to come to Orlando. Let's make it happen.
Your favorite chocolate?
I like a dark chocolate, Reese's, and some of the ones with almond butter even are really good as well.
An episode of TV you'll never forget.
Pine Barrens, Sopranos, when they're in the snow hunting down the Russian guy.
Tremendous. They're eating the ketchup in the car or wherever it was. Dude, you know, I'm glad you brought up Sopranos. I mean, there are so many moments in Sopranos. Wow. Great call. Leland and Macon. Leland, the one team you actually care about in the NBA playoffs.
You know what? I actually like the Lakers, man. I'm a Lakers fan, so I want to see the Lakers. Do something.
My favorite chocolate.
My favorite chocolate is Lindor. I don't know why. I just like Lindor chocolate.
Good call. I like that.
Give me an episode of TV you'll never forget.
Larry David at a friend's funeral. So I can't remember exactly what happened, but funniest episode of Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm I've ever seen. That's one of my favorite shows. And Steak, you might remember me as the brother with the blue suit. We used to talk all the time when you were at another station. But
the brother with the blue suit.
Blue suit,
well,
yeah.
Well, don't ever.
I had on a powder blue suit when you met me.
All right, man. Don't ever call that other station. You're locked in here for locked and loaded. Final word, we got DJ in Dallas. The one team you care about in the playoffs that's left.
I'm excited to see the new face of the NBA, the new face for the NBA, Anthony Edwards, Timberwolves all day.
Your favorite chocolate.
Anything Reese's.
Yep.
An episode of TV you'll never forget.
Man, when Fresh Prince, when his dad came, and then his dad left again, and he was like, how come he don't want me, man?
Oh, dude.
And I'm telling you, it makes me be a better dad.
That's
every day.
One of the most emotional in TV history. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Mikey, can't thank you enough.
My pleasure, brother. Anytime.
Fun. We're back tomorrow. The Queen is back. Bo, thanks so much as always. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your Monday. Bye.